Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vonta. Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vonta automates compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vonta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vonta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get a special offer of $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're watching the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Pablo Pedrejon, partner at Seaya. Seaya raised its first funding in 2013 and currently manages over 650 million euros across five early stage venture funds. Their portfolio includes companies like Glovo, Cabify, Wallbox, and many more. Seaya just closed a 300 million climate tech fund, Southern Europe's biggest investment vehicle for impact-driven companies. And this, among other things, is what we are going to talk about on the show. Pablo, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much, Marcin.
Awesome. So, Pablo, let's get right into it. What red flags make you walk away from a potential investment, even, you know, if the tech looks promising?
Look, I think even though it seems like a boilerplate answer, it's not. Like, the team is everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we invest in most of the return or the economic value. And, you know, we always think that the more a company scales, the more impact it's going to have, right? We think that impact is done at exponential levels. And that's what we look for. We look for those founders that can really scale their companies. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it all goes down to the founders, right? Like, do we believe they will be able to navigate this valley of death that we were discussing before? Mm-hmm. Will they be able to pivot when they need to pivot? Would they be able to attract a better talent than themselves? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the end, we always look for two things, right? One is, would we go and work for them? That's number one. That's like the first test. And then, are they humble but ambitious enough? You need to combine both, right? So yeah, it all goes down to the team. And for us, you know, more than a red flag, we look for green flags, no? Like, get excited behind a team.
Yeah, and that sounds good because, you know, being in a VC is kind of being in a business of saying no oftentimes. So it's good to hear your approach that you're looking for green flags rather than red flags for a change. Can you maybe share a time when Seaya support made a critical difference in you know, like, startup success beyond just money?
Yes, look, I think in Seaya, we like to say that our internal KPI is to be the founder's first call, okay? Which is not something you can put in a shareholder's agreement, like something you need to earn week by week. And, you know, when have we been able to really put that into practice, right? And be the founder's travel companion, okay, basically. You know, I think that there are we have been a lot of things, right? But like more like critical moments. You know, the first one is when a company needs to face what we call the critical path moment, okay? So when a company raises money, their world is their oyster, right? They feel that they can do whatever they can go down any direction, pursue any opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, recently, I think in the last 3 years, we've had a lot of discussions about what we call the critical path. Uh-huh. Okay. What is the critical path to get you out of that valley of death that we were discussing before? What is the critical path to have the most impact by scaling? No.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have done that, you know, in many companies, in terms of where to focus all your resources, in which features you need to focus on your product, to achieve excellence, or in which client segment in a go-to-market you need to focus. And it involves tough decisions sometimes, which, you know, when do you need to adjust your team and right-size it, right? I don't want to, you know, tell any stories that are not public from companies, but there are, you know, a few companies that have been open about this and about right-sizing when the time came, right? I think. You know, I don't want to speak about specific companies because it's not a great thing to say, but the fact is that critical path discussion and the execution of it and like really helping the founders understand why it's going to be better for the company is something we do often, okay? And the fact that I used to be a founder before, you know, I went through those same issues, right? So
yeah.
I use a lot my personal experience when discussing that, or my failure to actually execute some of the things I'm recommending now, because I was just too afraid of, I don't know, what's going to happen to my employees or my investors or my clients. And sometimes you just need to make a right, like a sharp move of the steering wheel. No? Yeah. And I think the second thing is just expansion support. So we've really helped our companies expand. You know, Wallbox, we helped them expand to the US. Globo, which is from our previous more Series A fund, we helped them expand globally. That's where we help the most.
Awesome. Pablo, speaking about Globo and Wallbox, what are the key traits you've noticed in founders that go on to become, you know, or startups that go on to become giants like Glovo and Wallbox?
Yeah, so going back to the founders, you know, ambitious but humble. I think, you know, there are founders that really represent those traits. They really wanted to become regional and global leaders. And they brought the team to do that. That's number one, okay? And they also listened a lot, right? So if you look at Wallbox's board of directors, they have, you know, very relevant industry expertise. In Globo, they also had, very early on, they brought in Delivery Hero as a shareholder to also bring the best knowledge, right? So I think surrounding yourself with great executive team and great investors and board members is key, but you need to be humble enough to know that you don't know everything, right? So that's number one, right? And I think number two is the playbook. You know, when you expand in products or expand in regions and geographies, you need to have a playbook where you learn from past experiences. You set clear milestones to have. Make another decision in the future whether that geographic expansion or that product expansion is working out or not.
Yeah.
If it's working out, then keep executing. If it's not working out, make the tough decision to close. And I think, you know, it's public information. These companies did that, right? So I think that clarity in what you're doing, in what goals you need to achieve in each of that expansion, these expansion decisions, and then especially not justify yourself that, you know, okay, we haven't had enough time yet to prove it. Let's wait a bit more before we make a tough decision. It's like death by a thousand cuts, right? So I think that's key.
Awesome. Pablo, what's the hardest part? Because we were talking about, you know, climate tech and deep tech. What's the hardest part about turning deep tech research into a market-ready product?
Yes. As I mentioned at the beginning, we don't invest in pre-revenue companies, right? So the pure moonshot R&D technologies, you know, we look at the most promising ones, and maybe hopefully we can invest in one soon, but it's not our core. We still invest in pretty frontier tech companies that have some kind of revenues. I think the key part is to understand first how long it's going to take to build a product that's scalable. Okay. One thing is consulting like projects where you really adapt to your first clients, but that's not really scalable.
Yeah.
When is a company going to reach that boxed in scalable product that's not consulting, basically? Mm-hmm. And in what market you're going to do that? You know, we've seen both journeys in companies. Companies that start very SMB,
yeah,
with low, you know, selling to low ticket contracts to clients, mm-hmm, and then they see that actually they should be selling much more to enterprise. And then we see the opposite. Companies that have a relationship with a big corporate, maybe from R&D or from their past work experience, mm-hmm, but they sell to big corporates, and then they suddenly see that actually there's a big demand of like a more product-led growth strategy with smaller SMBs, right? In sectors where, you know, we invest a lot in energy and in industry, okay? Mm-hmm. It's two sectors where we're looking at a lot right now. You have a lot of enterprise clients, but you have a lot of SMB clients. Mm-hmm. So as a founder, don't only focus on the products, also focus on the market that you want to go to, right? Because mm-hmm, it will require a much different go-to-market. So the companies that we see reaching that inflection point of growth really think about both at the same time, mm-hmm, and they put that in a timeline of the capital they have available, right? And it's, yeah, okay, before we raise the next amount of capital, round of capital, we need to achieve these wins in product and in go-to-market. And I think the companies that really think about that strategically are the ones that are able to really launch a market-ready product.
Mm. Pablo, you're in the forefront of, you know, in like future innovation. Like founders come to you, probably you hear founders speaching to you like every day or like at least every week about their like new technologies that are gonna change the world. How do you cut through the noise, and what are the emerging trends in climate tech that you think are going to be a game changer in the next decade?
Look, we are firm believers that we need to fight climate change, okay? Mm-hmm. But what we've seen in the last few years is the volatility in a lot of macro dimensions. And what do I mean by that? I mean supply chain volatility. Mm-hmm. I mean geopolitical volatility. You know, suddenly you have trade tariffs that weren't there before. Mm-hmm. You also have within Europe political change, no? That seems to be or political volatility that seems to be mm-hmm, also changing how regulators and governments look at climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at emerging climate tech trends, we want to understand which companies are more resilient and can basically prove maybe more climate change skeptics that the only way forward is climate change. And
yeah,
what I'm getting to at is, you know, even, and I hope nobody listening to this podcast, I don't know if there's any climate change denier, no, but you know, if there were anybody that is a climate change denier,
mm-hmm,
I think the story to say is, look, you still need energy independence today. Mm. You still need industry and manufacturing independence.
Yeah.
Because Europe needs to have that independence going forward, okay? And the only way to do that is to be doing renewable energy in Europe,
mm-hmm,
and to be much more efficient in the industry and manufacturing part. So we think that those two trends, and that spills out to, you know, decarbonization of real estate. We cannot, mm-hmm, be spending, you know, wasting energy in real estate.
Yeah.
We cannot be, then it also spills out into recycling and circular economy.
Yeah.
We cannot be buying from other geographic areas everything we have. Let's try to recycle what we already have in Europe.
Mm.
And then also in food and agriculture, which are other two big sectors we focus on. We need to be, mm-hmm, self-sufficient, right? So every, you know, we look for those companies that are in these sectors trying to be independent and much more efficient. And that is 100% aligned with our climate impact goals. And it helps having being sure that everybody's aligned across a political spectrum and across the geopolitics. No? And yeah. And in two very specific examples. So one is in energy, we believe that the households will be electricity driven in the next 10 years. It's already happening, you know, from heat pumps to solar panels to, you know, charging your electric vehicle at your house. So the electrification of home trend is something we are really looking at. And same with the CNI, commercial and industrial trend. Okay, so that's something we're spending a lot of time in and we're very excited about, because it will provide households and companies with cheaper costs, with independence and reliability, and fight against climate change. So that's number one. And then number two, in industry, industry is a sector that has not been digitalized that much compared to other sectors. And, you know, we're all seeing what's happening in Germany with higher energy prices. They need to, the companies are looking for ways to be much more efficient in the industrial processes to save costs. So we're spending a lot of time in that part, that digitalization of factories.
Sounds very good. And actually, like what you mentioned, that like if there are people that still don't believe in climate change, it's crazy. And if you're not doing anything about climate change, then what are you doing? What are you even doing? Well, so, you know, given that sometimes I already know that you're super passionate about this topic and you really want to, you know, back founders who's gonna make a difference there. What keeps you passionate about this, especially on tough days?
So there's two things, me personally, you know. The more you learn about something, I mean, I'm a person that I'm very curious. I like to investigate and go down the rabbit hole. So the fact that, you know, I've been in for the last few years only focused on this, you know, the more you learn and go down the rabbit hole, the more possibilities you see, okay, of things working out. And, you know, what I just said before, like, I really see there is a case, economical sense, for so many things that will fight against climate change, okay? Yeah. So it's almost like a economical imperative that this should happen, right? But we just need to put the pieces in to make it happen, right? So I'm very passionate about proving that, you know? And the companies that, and there are companies that are already proving that the payback period for making your house independent from the energy grid is, you know, pretty low. Like, it really makes sense to do it, no? So so let's just do it, no? And I think that those green shoots are really what's driving me, no? I obviously also have, I'm passionate also at another level, but I cannot really act upon it from, say, Andromeda because of the size of the fund. That's not billions. But, you know, for example, I have my pet projects, which is just understanding everything about fusion and nuclear fusion, right? I know that somebody is going to crack that. There is capital out there, you know, billion-dollar funds that are investing, you know, like Breakthrough Energy into this space. I'm rooting from the sidelines because we don't have that kind of capital to deploy in that moonshot technology. But I know it's going to come, right? So I'm really hopeful for the future, both at the micro level where I'm already seeing these green shoots, as well as a more ambitious and macro level of decades that's going to come.
Amazing, Pablo. To end it off with this question. What's the no bullshit advice you'd give to a climate tech founder looking to secure a Series B funding now?
I mean, the answer is in the questions you've asked me during this podcast, right? Like, I think, you know, founders really need to, they need to believe and be convinced that they have a market for the products. They cannot depend on, you know, the goodwill of your consumers and your customers. And just to explain this very quickly, no? I was having breakfast this morning with a leading textile executive speaking about textile supply chain, okay? And the fact is, you know, he was saying, look, when we do surveys on consumers, they say they care about where the products, the textile products come from, and if they're sustainable or not. But then we see it in practice, and they're not even able to spend €1 more on clothes that are sustainable. Okay. Mm. So I think as a climate tech founder and as an investor, we need to navigate both worlds. We need to navigate the world where we know that people are going to care much more, and at some point put their money where their mouth is. But right now the reality is it's much more complicated, and it's difficult to part money, you know, to ask your customers to part money for the green premium. Mm. How do you balance that? So as a Series B founder, I think, because when Series B, you start to, you know, have to show numbers, you have to show traction.
Yeah.
So you need to really prove that there is a market now and that your clients demand it now. If you prove that, then you have all the tailwinds behind you. You have regulatory tailwinds, consumer tailwinds, but you need to prove that and not just rely on, but look at this survey, consumers want to pay a premium. The fact is they don't really pay a premium afterwards. No? So they need to be realistic about this very tough takeaway, but it's the reality.
Yeah. Pablo, when you're not fighting climate change together with unstoppable climate tech founders, what are you all about?
Look, I'm, as we were discussing at the beginning, you know, before the show, I'm a family man for sure. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think if something I'm very passionate about, as I said before, I'm very curious. You know, I like to always be learning. I'm always studying some sort of university degree on the side or another. I'm very passionate about history, which, you know, actually has much more in common with climate change than you might think. I think
what
I was saying before about the geopolitical trends, I think you can learn that from history, right? You know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. So we've gone through areas of more isolation. I think maybe we are going through that.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time, that's like my passion hobby, I guess, history, in terms of intellectual demands. But yeah, other than that, pretty normal family guy, friend guy, enjoying Spain.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Pablo. And speaking of history, there's going to be a question related to history now. How many extinction cases did we have in the
actually, that's a good question. I think we've probably had around, I don't know. To be honest, I am still studying the history university degree at a distance, very slowly. And prehistory is something I haven't really gotten around to studying yet. But around 4 or 5, maybe?
Exactly 5. We had 5. And each time the cause of it was climate change. So if there is anyone who doesn't believe in climate change yet, just please go check your books, read about it. And, you know, the climate change compared to other 5 extinctions is moving on, you know, unprecedented speed compared to other 5s currently. So we better do something about it.
This is the most important threat we have, and we need to solve it together, all of us.
Yeah. Pablo, thanks so much for this podcast interview. Thanks so much for your time. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show. Maybe to end it off, I know that you just raised a new fund and you're looking forward to deploy it in some amazing founders. Do you have any new projects going on either within SEAIA or outside of it?
We have a lot of capital to deploy, so we have a lot of projects and companies we are looking at. I think that's what's exciting me the most, to really be able to help all of these founders that were about to announce a few deals. That's really taking up most of my time.
Okay. Sounds good, Pablo. And good luck with that, because we really need to do something about the climate change. Pablo, thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.